When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, wings, wings, and more wings. We talk all about wings on this show. Indy 500, we'll wrap that up. Get into the spy photos of the 911 GT3 RS and all things SUVs.
Yeah, some new SUVs coming out. Interesting tech.
First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. Yeah, DIY projects to get through. Want to save money and avoid paying the repairman? Big or small repairs. Home or garage, ordinary household glue. Well, it's got the word ordinary right in the title. You need strong. You need better. You need JB Weld. We're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They've been great. I know the owner. We hung out with these guys at SEMA. Were you with me at SEMA when I was hanging out with those guys? I know I asked you all the time.
You swung by the booth and chatted with them and then came back. You're like, I just talked to the guys at JB Well. I like those guys.
What can I say? I've been using it for a long time, and now they make everything. They used to just make JB Weld. It was for repairing metal. Now they make everything. So don't glue it. JB Welded, available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. It's JB Weld.
Hey, you guys.
It's Sophia.
And Sistine Stallone.
And we are so excited to share with you our brand new podcast, Unwaxed.
I know what you're probably thinking. And no, we are not waxing our kitties, but we are bearing it all.
So join us each week as we discuss adulting.
What's that?
Single life.
Tragic.
And of course, give you our unsolicited advice.
While bringing on exciting guests to join the chaos.
We are unfiltered,
unapologetic, and unbelievably unwaxed!
Yes, damn, that is the most clever thing we've come up with. So be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or PodcastOne.com and join us every Tuesday to listen to the best content the internet has to offer.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a chips. Get on a mandate. Get on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Kronstadt. There, Drew over there.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, it's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea over there. And we'll take some of your questions and we'll talk about life in the big cities. It pertains to the automobile. Let's see. I got the Aston Martin up and running. I was driving it pretty much all weekend, which was kind of nice. Car looks good. You kind of forget the technology is so dated in a car that's, I don't know, what year did those things come out? 05?
I think yours is an 05, first year of the DB9.
Yeah, and it's been 15 years, and you forget the stereo and the knobs and stuff. It's like, oh, this is old. Like, everything is so old. But I'll tell you the...
just the fact that it has knobs.
I know.
There's no, like, touchscreen or...
The outside of the car still looks pretty damn good.
Yeah.
JB Weld, CarCast is brought to you by our proud sponsor, JB Weld, the epoxy adhesive brand used by pros and DIYers and trusted for over 50 years. And it's available at jbweld.com and retailers everywhere. It's JB Weld. So, yeah, we got the car. We got the new battery in. We got the charge on the battery. Sean kind of put the seat back. We kind of pieced it together. Sort of just took the passenger seat and sort of moved it back and lowered it and sort of locked it off because it was having trouble with the connections. Some little electrical things that were a little weird, like the lock on the door, passenger side door was a little wanky, and the electric lock and little bits and pieces. But drove it around, went for a little cannonball run at night with Sonny, who seemed to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of ran through. Here's a little tip. So I said to Sean, what should we do? You know, it had half a tank of gas. My impulse was to take the old gas, add a half a tank of new gas and some sort of, you know, injector cleaner or something like that. He said, just run through the old tank and then add fresh gas and add the injector cleaner with that. So I drove around aggressively for about a day and a half, like trying to waste gas, essentially.
That's a half a tank.
I went over to Dr. Drew's house and went out for a cannonball run with my son at night and blah, blah, blah. And I parked it in the garage and I cleaned it up. Like, I hadn't worked on a car in a while. I mean, in terms of detailing, like getting down, getting the rims cleaned up, you know, doing that kind of stuff. Car cleans up really nice, looks really good. Ran through the gas, went to the gas station, couldn't figure out how to get the gas cap to pop up, the cover to pop.
Yeah. There's a button, if I recall. I'm sure you figured it out, but I want to say maybe like driver's side kick panel.
There's a weird button, driver's side dash, like side dash.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, almost kick panel, side dash. I pushed that a few times, nothing happened. And then I had to look around at everyone who was looking at me, and I had to pretend like I didn't need gas anymore. Like I was thinking about gas, but I changed my mind.
Yeah. There's funny videos and memes of people pulling up in a Tesla with a pump and going, I don't know where to fill it up. And people are like, yeah, it's a Tesla.
That was me. I essentially just drove home and then went online and just Googled in DB9 gas cap help, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I found some website that said you could pop the trunk and there's a little release button underneath the gas cap, whatever, up in there. I think the guy had a V8 Vantage or something, but it was like, good enough. And sure enough, you can pop the trunk and kind of open it up.
The crazy part about the DB9 that I remembered is when you're sitting in the car and you're looking for the button, you can't see it. You have to open the door because it's on the side of the dash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you sit there going, hey, where's the button? Is it down low? Is it in the kick panel? Is it in the pocket?
No, I know.
You'll never see it. You have to get out.
Yes.
Interesting.
It's totally, it is not organic. Let's just put it to you that way. But car ran good. You forget those old cars, too. I'm an old 15 years old. The suspension is pretty stiff.
Yeah.
Like, it is, they didn't have it worked out with the electric magnet, you know, shock, whatever. They didn't, you know, back in the day, and again, back in the day, 2005, but you had to kind of go, do you want a stiff suspension with good handling, or do you want a soft suspension for a luxury ride? And now it's, I want both.
Right.
But back then, it was like, no, you have to declare a major. Would you like this car to handle? And it's like, yes, I would. Okay, well, then you're going to feel everything in the road.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of interesting. I mean, it was kind of old school, kind of felt cool.
Yeah.
Kind of feeling that stiff suspension in the road.
Yeah, and I get it's a GT car, but it's still a sporty car. And, you know, when you get on it, you get to hear that engine and the feedback from that suspension. Yeah, it is kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. So I put, I took a couple of pictures, Max Pat, of the car in the garage. We can throw up what do we do? The CarCast show?
CarCast show.
CarCast show, not the.
No.
How long's it been?
11 years.
CarCastShow.com. I took a couple of shots of it in the garage. It looks good. And that green, nobody gets them in green, but it looks good in that green.
Yeah, it does. Let me just remind you guys, it's time for Dodge Power Dollars. That means for each horsepower, you get $10 off the purchase of your Dodge Charger, Challenger, or Durango. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars today for a pretty sweet deal.
So
you could go trade the Aston Martin.
Yeah.
So it's good. You're right. It looks good. There it feels good.
I put it up. I cleaned the damn rims. It's been a long time since I got down and really got after some rims.
Yeah. Did you commission Sonny to help?
I told him, but he didn't do squat.
He didn't buy into it.
No. And also, I didn't really have any good stuff there. I got too much stuff spread out all over the place. I was like, "Where's my rim cleaner?" It's like, "Not here. Nothing here." So I just got down with a brush and kind of went at it.
Sonny wasn't too excited now, but give him 2 years when if 16-year-olds still get a license, he's going to be like, "Hey, Dad, well, are you using that Aston Martin in the garage?"
I have not heard jack squat from either my kids about getting a license or driving or cars or owning a car?
I thought we asked Sonny on the way. He might have been drinking the whole time, so I don't know.
He's out of it. Yeah.
But on the way to Monterey, we're like, Sonny, you going to get a license when you're 16? And what kind of car do you want, right? And then, I don't know, he said something ridiculous. We had to change his mind immediately.
Well, the deal is I needed to go somewhere when mm-hmm. I was young. Like, my deal was, first off, imagine... Okay, I see my mom once every 7 weeks, and it's way too much for me. Like, and we're outdoors. My house was 800 square feet. I couldn't imagine living with my mom and my stepdad in 800 square feet, like in no air conditioning. Like, you had to get out.
Yeah, you had to.
You had to get out. My kids are like 7,300 square feet, and they like their mom and their dad. So they're having the time of their life. They don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I needed to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most guys I knew, you know, the parents, I mean, they lived in small apartments with their parents. You know, I mean, it's now insane. I mean, for me, when I think about living with my mom in a small area, that sounds unthinkable. It's unimaginable mm-hmm. to me. So, of course, I had to get out. Or my dad. I mean, my stepmom, my stepdad, like, blah. Like, living with them seems like a punishment.
For summer camp, you should send Sonny Natalia to live 1 week with your mom and 1 week with your dad.
They'd be so horribly traumatized they could never work again.
They'd have to live there for a week and... I don't know, do chores or something, and no, I can't imagine there's any internet connection.
I don't know, but there's no connections of any kind, emotional, spiritual, internet. There's no connection. I have no connection to either one of those people. I cannot believe I had to live. Max Pat, you saw the house I grew up in. I couldn't believe I had to live with my mom. And by the way, my stepdad is no fucking bowl of cherries either. That guy doesn't even talk. He's weird. Yeah. My mom's angry and weird, and my stepdad's just weird.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
I saw the size of his side room where Adam would sleep. It was, yeah, it was one of those rooms that if you got a house, you would look at it and go, what should we do with this one?
You'd store pet food there. Yeah. That's what you do. Except for
Phil wouldn't want to live there.
Yeah,
no.
So you're saying Sonny and Natalia couldn't handle a week?
No. Phil couldn't handle a week. I would have had a decent childhood if I had a Phil growing up. I mean, Sonny was just like hanging on to him last night, onto his toy, and Phil just like drags him across the hardwood floor while Sonny's like on his back in a hoodie. And I'm like, that's what I should have had. But all right. So
yeah.
Enough about that. Indy 500 ran.
Indy 500. Yeah.
That was, you know, when they left, Sonny and I were watching it. There was that bad crash at the end. And I read a tweet from Graham Rahal, I'm curious about, but at the end, they went to commercial and they're like, well, five laps left. I think they're going to red flag this thing mm-hmm. and restart this race. And it's like, oh my God, this is going to be an exciting ending because there's five laps left. And once that pace car pulls out there, whatever lead you had in first place, and it wasn't much, but whatever it is, yeah. Everyone's going to be completely bunched up. And
it's going to be a sprint.
At that point, I think the guy in second or even third place has an advantage over the guy who's leading the race. On a five-lap race, a five-lap sprint with the pace car and a restart, I think most Indy guys would probably say they'd rather be in second, waiting to waiting for their spot.
Yeah.
You know, make their move.
Well, the restart would have only been three laps.
Oh, it was only three laps.
And, you know, they would have.
The accident happened with five.
It's at five, and they're under yellow. And then they said, if we red flag it, there will be three laps. And three laps is a little down to the wire. You're right. Like, maybe second place is...
Those guys do so many aggressive moves.
They do. It would be a battle, for sure. It wouldn't surprise me if the lead had changed
Probably a couple times.
A couple times.
Yeah.
Definitely second and third, people will be darting around. Because second and third at this point, now you're fighting off the people behind you, not just trying to get the people in front of you. It is a sprint. And believe me, that guy in fourth is going, I just need a little window here, and I'm going to be in first.
Right.
No, so
yeah.
it would have been
so Graham,
interesting.
Graham sent a tweet out, said, while I wanted a chance to win, an hour and a half track repair combined with the fact that there are no gimmicks in IndyCar racing means the Indy 500 ran its course. Hour and a half track repair, I'm sort of looking at. Like, the guy hit the tire barrier, whatever, like pretty hard.
Yeah, so he hit the wall, outside wall, and then came in and hit the tire barrier at the entrance
and
of the pit.
And it definitely moved some stuff around. But hour and a half, like, I feel like, and I don't know what the legalities are, like, when a barrier has been compromised, like, does some guy have to come out, throw a tape on it, like, recertify it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Versus, hey, this guy's just going to push the tires back into place.
There's probably, I don't know much about it, and I'm speculating, but there's the tire thing where those guys are like, all right, we need to bring the tires back out and we got to get the ones that we have, blah, blah, blah. But hitting the wall and all that stuff, depending on damage on the wall, mm-hmm. I wonder if there's some sort of like patch system that they have. They're like, we can make this go. You know, if this was lap 9 and they needed a shutdown for an hour or more, like what's there? They're not going to go out there and the guy's not going to start bringing some mortar out there and start patching the wall and be like, this will dry in about an hour and a half. Just don't hit it again. You know, like there's got to be some sort of clue, some sort of system that they have.
I'm surprised that it's an hour and a half.
Yeah. And maybe there's an exaggeration there at some point.
I think Graham was probably making his point.
Yeah.
By tacking on a little time. But I think the problem was the guy hit, you know, when you hit a wall and you drop some oil or some fluid or whatever, they come in and they mop up real fast.
Mm-hmm.
When you hit a barrier that's like in the infield and you essentially corrupt it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you, this thing is not what it was. I mean, there must be a bunch of rules. I mean, there's probably templates and stuff. Like, here's what this thing needs to be. It can't be haphazard. It can't be like, throw some old tires on there, whatever, and string them together with chicken wire or something. Like, they got rules. And when you corrupt that thing, you must have to sort of recertify it.
Yeah.
You must have to to get put back, and somebody must go, it is now back to an official position versus get those tires pushed back into shape.
Right. Especially on the entrance of a pit, certain length, certain width, you know, and you're like, hey, it's off. It's not fair. It's not to spec anymore, you know.
Fair. I think it's all just insurance. And if they had, let's just put it to you this way. If they just, in a hurry, pushed everything back in shape and kind of put the tarp over the top, and then, God forbid, someone hit it again, and something happened to that person, there'd be a fucking, they would own that racetrack, right?
Right.
Because Garagos would get involved and explain that the shit wasn't back how. Now, we would know that it was all back out, but you didn't get it certified.
Right.
Like, you didn't, where was the guy who comes down and does all the paperwork?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there must be some rule. I don't know, Matt. I don't know if there's anything online, Max Zapata, but you hit a wall, you put a big scuff on a wall, and then you drop a bunch of fluid, and they just come in and mop up the fluid, and they start the race again. You go interior, you go like infield, and move some shit around. They must have to recertify things.
There's got to be something to it for sure. I would also imagine at this point, There's a business to run. They're like, where are we on TV coverage? What are we doing? You know, what's got to come up next? And there's a business decision and a safety decision that needs to be made. Look, everybody there seemed to be, you know, everybody involved with the event, mm-hmm. the drivers and, you know, the team owners. Everyone was fine with it. Like, this is what it is. Yeah. Scott Dixon wants to win. Graham Rahal wants to win. They're the top three.
I think it would have been.
It's business.
But for the viewers, a restart, obviously.
It would have been, yeah, for fun to watch, absolutely would have been better for all of us. But look, congratulations to all those guys. And Takuma Sato, who won, is Graham's partner on the team.
Right.
So Rahal Letterman took first and third.
Yeah.
And it was great to see Bobby up there and everyone's excited. And then David Letterman was up there with this crazy mountain man, I eat people for a living beard and with a mask on, you know, but, you know, the race was good. It was fun. It was a little odd to see it without spectators, but the TV coverage really kind of compensates for a lot of that. I was talking about with Goldberg earlier in the week saying it's got to be different for the people that are there, the teams and the drivers. They don't get the noise. They don't get the spectacle of all the people that are there. And I said, I get it. They're in the car and it's all business for them. It's, you know, it's not WrestleMania where it's all fanfare and showmanship. But and he's like, listen, I've wrestled in the biggest events and I was one of the people that wrestled at a no spectator WrestleMania. And he's like, yeah, it's
sorry, you're talking about weird. You? I wasn't listening.
Yes. On the weekends, I'm a professional wrestler.
Oh, Goldman. That's right.
Goldman. Yeah, Goldman.
Yeah, so what did he say the difference was?
Well, he's like, you know, he made up a good point. He said, well, what we're doing now with the TV coverage is sort of compensating, like not really putting a lot of spectator stuff, but the sounds and the announcers. He's like, it's the announcers that have to carry it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't call a race or a fight or a hockey game without the announcers being all in on it. You know, so that was kind of thing. But look, Sato wins the Indy 500. He's on the podium. They lift him up with the new elevator car lift. Well, I think that was kind of badass.
Yeah,
and there's 78 people get to cheer him. So one of the things I thought about was, this is going to go down as one of the most unique Indy 500s.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year will as well, because it'll be the biggest party for an Indy 500 of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree. And hopefully we'll be there. Spy photos of the 911 GT3 RS.
Oh, my gosh. You should see
RS.
The 911. So the new 911s are out for a while now. And as they release more models, we've seen Turbo S.
Mm-hmm.
And then Turbo, and mm-hmm. then we've seen Targa, which mm-hmm. is out. It looks mm-hmm. great. My favorite, Targa GTS, not really announced yet, because I like the GTS options. I like the mm-hmm. Targa with the manual and the center lock wheels,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the best looking car out there.
Yeah. Targa is the greatest architecture for a car. If you think about it, if you think about like the best era for cars, it's like those Le Mans cars from the 60s, mid 60s, early 60s, mm-hmm. and they had that kind of Targa look, like kind of like the Ferrari 250 LM or something.
Yeah.
And if you're a speed racer fan, a lot of those cars were like Targa looking. And it's a good look. Convertibles, not great. Coupes, good. Targa somehow this weird balance, like that Targa Porsche looks good.
It does, and one of the things I like about it is that rear glass is one big piece and it's curved,
yes.
So there's no extra pillar, like
right,
like, you know, so it just has a nice look to it and it's open. But so there's gonna be a GT3 and then there's gonna be a GT3 RS. The GT3 possibly available with a manual transmission. I think it's gonna have a manual. The GT3 RS not going to have it, but 520 horsepower, naturally aspirated 4 liter, and the bodywork on it is aggressive. It looks like an RSR when you start. We're looking at the photos, the spy photos, and it's all in black, and they got vents taped off so you can't see how aggressive it is, and you know they're trying to hide it. But you look at some of these angles, and you look how aggressive this guy has, like some RSR bodywork on it, like modern day RSR.
Yeah, yesterday I was driving down the street, I was leaving the studio, and I got behind a Porsche that had been breathed on quite a bit, and it just had a massive tail on the back.
Yeah.
And got to figure out something with that tail.
Yeah.
Because
they're going big wings now.
But here's the problem. So the catch 22 is obviously the Porsche is all about performance, and the tail is there for a reason, and it's a rear engine car, so it's going to need that tail.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you look back and you look at like Singers and other Porsches, they all have that duck tail mm-hmm. in the back, and it's really the best looking of all the vintage tails. Is a kind of minimalist.
Yeah.
Tail on there. Now, if you're going to go full 935 and really integrate the tail into the rest of the slant nose and the massive flares and the big intakes and the rear fenders and everything, then that's one thing. The problem with the modern Porsches and some other modern cars is they have a sort of more modern, sleek body, and then the tail's just getting bigger and
thinner. Oh, it's getting bigger.
Right. And so now it's getting into sort of bad boob job on skinny chick kind of territory. Now, obviously, it's there for a reason, and I love functionality. But at a certain point, you're just driving down Rodeo Drive, and you're driving up and down Sunset Strip, and it's got this massive tail hanging off the back of your car. And I don't know what that tail's doing under 90 miles an hour.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Chris, can you find, what's the latest AMG GT? It could be an AMG GT Black Series. See if that comes up. And, like, this is a front-engine car. I mean, you know, whatever, front, mid. I'm sure it's pushback as far as it can go. And it's over the top with the wings and the front and the canards and all kinds of crazy stuff. It looks badass, but you're right. It's like, yeah, how much Rodeo Drive kind of thing going on? Yeah, here's a picture of the AMG GT.
The real question I've driven a race car with a big tail on it, and I can tell you at 50 miles an hour, all it is a piece of plastic on the back of your car. At 150 miles an hour, you're planted, you know. So
yeah, so there's the photo of that.
Right.
It's the thing now, right?
It's a thing your mom doesn't understand. You know, she'd come out and go, it's such a spiffy car. What's with this thing? And you'd go, that's necessary, mom. And you go, but necessary? You live in the hills. What are we talking about? And you're like, hey. At 156 miles an hour, it creates 5,000 pounds of downforce. Like, where are you going? 150.
Yeah, right. Why do you need that?
You go to the Trader Joe's in Encino. What are you talking about? You can't even see out of the back window. And you'd be like, all right, well, maybe she's got a point. Like,
Damn it, mom. That's why you're not allowed over.
Where is that car? I mean, Porsche. Does that tail do anything under 80 miles an hour?
Right. Like when does the tail kick in? I don't know. I don't know we know yet on the GT3 RS.
Well,
you could probably find out on the AMG.
It does something at 50 miles an hour, but what?
I don't know. Drag? just drag?
It would maybe create a little downforce at that speed, but how much?
Now,
the wing has an active aero flap and contributes a total maximum downforce of over 880 pounds at 155 miles per hour.
Oh, 155. I was way off.
Right. But that's a weird number, though, because isn't that where they, like, do the limit for the, you know, like when you order your BMW, you're like, oh, it's 155 limited unless you get the competition package and you pay the government a fee, and then it does 176.
Hmm.
Right. There's, like, the limited 155. So I wonder if that, why that number is just coming up.
There's an upgraded rear wing as part of a major aerodynamic kit as well. So,
so for people who chip it and they want to go more than 155. Okay, but here's an interesting thing. We talked about Gordon Murray's new supercar, his T50.
T50.
And he doesn't want a big crazy wing, so he put his fan on the back. And he said, hey, when this car is going fast, the air that goes through the car creates the downforce and the aerodynamics. He goes, but when you're going slower, mm-hmm. you don't get the air through the car, so you can turn the fan on, and right. the fan simulates aerodynamics, right?
Yeah, no, that's
a cool idea without going with the crazy wings. He does it with an insane fan that I'm sure is not going to break.
The big crazy wing is it's over. I'm sorry, but it's too much. I'm not. Look, I got a 935, so I'm not against the wing. I like the concept of the wing, but I got to tell you, you know what? I just thought about it. Do the singers just have a straightaway ducktail? Like they haven't breathed?
I don't know
that
they all do. I think you can. They probably massaged a little bit. Maybe it's up a little bit higher to get into the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I'm sure people that get them can order them with or without or what. Like
Come up a little higher as I look at the singer now. It looks a little more aggressive. Like it's got a little more height on it. But
yeah,
and you can get them with
just
or without.
Catching
but the point is that it's too much wing. The new, let's see, 911 GT3 RS, it's too much wing.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. It's just hung on there. It's just up there. It's just too much.
Now, the previous generation 911 GT3, I think GT3, I think that had the big wing on it, or you can get the touring model. And the touring model, no wing. Right, the touring model was like, hey, it's regular interior, and it's got air conditioning. It doesn't have a roll cage.
Is there a version of this? And I agree with you. Is there a version of this where if you're going to do the Nürburgring, you could pop it on with a couple of Zeus fasteners or quick clips or something? Because I just couldn't see that big old chunk just hanging off. I mean, when you're going to the Starbucks, you know what I mean? Like people are going to be setting their coffees on it when they're out in the parking lot and talking.
Do you think anybody is buying a GT3 RS with the wing or the AMG Black Series of the wing, even the Viper, the racy one with the big wing? Do you think anybody is buying it and then taking it off?
I don't know.
I think they're peacocking a little
bit.
You're
peacocking.
That's
a literal peacock. Like it's a fanning out of the rear feathers.
That's right.
So can we find out if that thing offers downforce at anything under like 75 miles an hour? Because I just...
Are you looking at the Porsche or that Mercedes?
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't know if you're going to find specs on the Porsche, but any of those cars, even Viper, you know, the big crazy Viper.
I mean, here's the deal. If you want to use a wing, you need to be not only going over 80 miles an hour, but you got to be going around a corner at 80 miles an hour, because otherwise you're just going in a straight line at 80 miles an hour and you don't really need the wing for the straight line.
It's doing something. You don't want the car to start to lift.
No, that's true.
Like high speed. If you think about a lot of cars that aren't sports cars, they build in a little bit of lift. So when you're on the freeway, you'll get better gas mileage.
Do they? I didn't know that.
I want to say a very specific example, because GM put it out there, is they're saying, hey, the normal Camaro or whatever, six-cylinder Camaro, has a certain amount of lift.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said the LT1, the super hot Camaro, they added bodywork to counteract that lift, and then the big wings push it down. So, you know, if the lift was 40 pounds of lift, they needed to add 150 pounds of downforce just to compensate for that first 40, right? So they're like, during fuel mileage, gas mileage, you got a little bit of lift in it.
I was unaware of that, but that's why they call you the motorator. So Max Paddle looking at it, and it's kind of tough now because they're all moving and adjustable and variable and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just sorry. At the end of the day, I don't mind a sort of incorporated rear wing, but I don't like the new ones that are just coat hangers, just, you know, hanging off the back of the thing. Although I think
It's showy.
I get it, but I think an example of one that kind of works and is big and is kind of hung is the McLaren. Like, you take a look at the Senna edition of the McLaren, and the body's big and bold. The tail has the two booms kind of in tight.
Yeah, and it's kind of hung below.
It's kind of hung below, and it looks okay on that car.
It does. However, you don't mistake the McLaren for another, the Senna for another McLaren. When you roll up on Rodeo with your 911, the guy with the giant wing is saying, I paid an extra $80,000.
It's true. So at 80 miles an hour, it's got 6,400 foot-pounds or downforce.
No, that's the...
Is that the RPM?
Oh, there it is, 89.
So 80 for rear downforce is 89 pounds, or a little over 80.
So 80, if you're going 80 miles an hour, you're getting 90 pounds.
Right, for the listeners, I have a chart, and yeah, it's speed... coefficient, downforce front and downforce rear. So what we want to look at is the speed of the first column and then the downforce rear of the last column.
Right. So if you're traveling around at 60 miles an hour, you're getting 50 pounds of downforce. So just throw some golf clubs in the back seat, would you? I don't know. I don't know a ton about downforce and aerodynamics. It just doesn't feel like that much.
Yeah.
And if you're going on a Mulholland run, you know, if you're going on a Mulholland run, God bless you. But if you're going on a Mulholland run, and again, you're throwing it into a corner,
yeah,
you're not going faster than 50 miles an hour.
Right, right. Actually, can we see the chart again? Was there a threshold where it jumps? It goes, you know, it's 50, then 60. Does it go from 90 to 140? Is there like some threshold of aerodynamics that we don't know?
Seem to just keep creeping up.
I think
up.
It just kind of crept up, but right. Why don't you hit that?
Look for that. Let me hit Madison Reed Mister here. Now, Madison Reed, they've been doing the hair coloring for the ladies for a while now, and they've been doing a pretty killer job. Lynette loves this stuff, by the way. And now they're doing it for the fellas. Madison Reed Mister. It's a gray blending, sort of natural color. It'll work for your hair. It'll work for your beard as well. They don't have that shoe polish look, and you just want to get rid of a little of the salt and add a little more pepper. Well, that's what you do with Madison Reed Mister. Again, you don't want to have that sort of Sharpie look. You want a nice, clean look and a natural look, and that's where Madison Reed Mister comes in. I use Madison Reed Mister. You get a little packet, put the gloves on. It's easy. You just open the color gel, and you just sort of mix around in your hand a little, and you just kind of comb it through your hair with your fingers, and then you put the activator on, just a little dollop, and you wait 10 minutes, and then you rinse it off, and Bob's your uncle. You're done, and they'll deliver it right to your door. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Matt?
Yeah, go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's Madison Reed MR, and use code ADAM for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code ADAM, MadisonReedMR.com.
So let's see, at 80 miles an hour, it's 89 pounds of downforce.
I don't know, that 113 to 140 jump seems significant, right? And then that 140 to 200.
Yeah, so
above 90, at 100 miles an hour.
And from 120, you're at 200 pounds, and then when you get to 150, you're at 315. So that's a pretty good chunk there, but there's not much movement under 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah. 90 miles an hour seems to be where to go. So don't drive the car less than 90 miles an hour.
Even in the Trader Joe's
Even
parking
the Trader
lot.
Joe's
parking. Yeah. So, all right. So you got a big old wing on the back of your car.
So when you get pulled over, be like, sorry, officer, my wing doesn't work if I'm going less than 90.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See how that goes.
You got, photos of the new McLaren tub, the carbon fiber tub?
There's a carbon fiber tub that McLaren's been working on, and the reason why they're doing this is the monocoque tub that they've had up to this point has been the platform or the essential design for their gas engine cars. But now they're saying all of our cars, not just a P1 or a Senna, are going to be hybrid. Mm-hmm. And with their ultimate goal of being electric only by 2030. Mm-hmm. So they've got a time frame on this that they're going to go to full electric. But the hybrid version will be a little bit like an NSX at this point, right? It's got a hybrid. It's got a gas engine. Limited range on electric only because this is, you know, it's a performance car. It's not meant to, you know, this isn't like how do you get from your house to the shop on electric only. This isn't that. It's maybe 17 miles. And as soon as you hit the gas, it's going to kick in anyway because you want to drive that car fast. But hybrid technology is their next big investment. And then from there, they're going to go to electric only. I imagine they're counting on things like battery technology to be far more advanced in the next 10 years. I don't even know if that's a realistic number. In our world, 10 years seems like a long time, but in some of this technology,
The battery stuff just flies forward.
Yeah.
It just flies forward.
I think as you're listening to this, there was something like Elon Musk was supposed to make some announcement about battery technology, or he hinted saying that his next big advancement in battery technology, the ones that he's working on, is ahead of schedule.
Mm.
And so I think he's expecting something in 2 to 3 years. Is his next big.
Well, I told him I used to fly my model airplanes. I had a ducted fan one that was electric, pile of crap, like basically unflyable, but it had a big brick of batteries and they're like C cells, daisy chain. And there's like 8 of them. And imagine flying a little stupid styrofoam ducted fan, whatever, with like 8 C cells, like shrink wrap
just
and
a
daisy
brick
chain.
In there.
It was a brick. It was a brick.
It lasted 9 minutes.
And now, and it wouldn't even last 9 minutes, but it was so goddamn heavy, you could barely fly the thing. But now, that same plane or ducted fan, you know, it's interesting, Kalen. Look up electric ducted fan jet kit, and I'll bet you the battery pack is going to look more like a few credit cards versus this brick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or the brick shape is now a much lighter weight lithium ion pack.
Right.
So it's half the weight or less.
Right.
And the output's probably far greater.
Yeah, flying the ducted fan jets is pretty cool, and they probably have some cool kits now, and they're probably pretty economical. Back when I was doing it, it's like they didn't really work, they didn't really have anything, and now they kind of do. So it was kind of, you know, if you want a little fun hobby with you and the kids, if you like car stuff, or you like whatever, all the stuff I flew back in the day was all gas-powered pretty much.
Yeah.
And now it's, I think it's all electrical. It's just, you know, the gas is like you have to buy the gas, you'd have to fill the gas, you have to go there with the glow plug and the starter thing,
start.
And you know, get your finger chopped off trying to kickstart the propeller. And they actually had a little F1 style whiz banger thing that you don't hit the prop,
a little starter motor.
Mm-hmm.
They would do that as well. But even on the RC cars, the electric cars are so badass now, and they're so fast, and you know, everything does 50 miles an hour.
There's no reason to buy an internal combustion engine for a model plane, a remote control plane. There's no reason to do it for a car, a model car, and there's not going to be any reason to do it on a full-size car in about 6 years.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I'm feeling it.
Well, until then, get yourself a Dodge. Summertime is the best time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because Dodge Power Dollars means you get a guaranteed discount. The math is simple. You get $10 off based on the total horsepower of your Dodge vehicle. So you can go in and get a 2020 Challenger, a 2020 Durango, even a 2020 Charger. And this summer, you'll get the most horsepower out of that ride. This is how it works. With $10 off for each horsepower, that means you can go in and pick up a Dodge Charger SRT Scat Pack. That's got 485 horsepower. You'll get $4,850 off. And this summer, Dodge Power Dollars is back on the Dodge Durango as well. So no matter where the summer takes you, the Dodge Durango is here to make every trip this season a breeze. So if you get more power, you get more off. It's that simple. So hurry into your local Dodge dealer now to take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars.
All right. So what else are we looking at in the automotive world?
You know, it was interesting about the McLaren news going into hybrid. But, you know, the other things that are coming out there that you'll hear more about is sort of in the same vein, is it was a Jeep Wrangler, the 4EX, which is going to be a plug-in hybrid. It's kind of neat, the idea of being able to, you know, sort of crawl around in nature when you're out there in silence.
Huh.
It's a little bit of a
quiet Jeep.
They're just starting to tease it. So I think it'll have the plug-in hybrid drivetrain will be off of something that's existing out there now. I'm not sure what they're running. I think it's their minivan.
Well, think how much better the off-roading would be. This sort of, well, especially if you're doing a little bit of a rock crawl,
mm-hmm,
because of the torque situation. Because when you're having to like throw revs and kind of pop the clutch and you're trying to get up a hill, you know what I mean? Like that is much better suited for an electric motor, right? Yeah. I mean,
it'll have, like you're saying, an electric motor, lithium ion battery pack, probably something based on the Chrysler Pacifica, maybe a 3.6 liter V6. And yeah, I'm sure it'll have some pure electric mode. That'll be kind of interesting as well. And I don't know if it's going to be one of their trail rated versions or how it's going to work, but it's going to be kind of interesting to creep around in that mode.
How do they? I always just picture them going, well, which ones are trail rated? Oh, yeah. The ones we stick the trail rated badge on, those are the ones. Yeah, I know, yeah. But how do you certify them? Here's the vigorous process. We stick a badge onto the thing that says the ones that are designated for trail rated. Like, do they, as it must come with a certain suspension or a certain something?
At least tires. Now, also the news from them that they're teasing is from Jeep. Everybody's doing virtual car reveals now. So this is the time of the year where we're getting a lot of this stuff. Is, you know, we have Cadillac Escalade. Mm-hmm. We have Lincoln Navigator.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeep wants to bring back the Grand Wagoneer, and it will be a full-size SUV, probably built on a Ram 1500 frame, full frame.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be Jeep's flagship model, and it will compete with Escalade and Navigator. So interesting that Jeep is going to get into that market as well.
Yeah, Navigator looks good, and the Escalade's good. I think I like the Lincoln more than I like the Cadillac these days.
We've done a few road trips in the Lincoln, the Black Label. Loved it. Great features, great seats, great sound system. There's a new Escalade, and the dash looks fantastic. Just screens and everything's digital, and it looks great, looks user friendly. I haven't driven it yet or have been in it yet, but it'd just be interesting to see how these come up. You know, certainly the competition right now is Escalade versus Navigator, but when this Grand Wagoneer comes out, I don't know, soon, maybe for next year, the three-way head-to-head comparison I think is going to be significant because people love those things so much.
Yeah, I get it now that I've been sort of. So I was trucking around in my Infiniti, which kind of puts you up high.
Yeah.
And then I got into the Aston Martin, and Sonny's like, can't even see over the dash. And I'm like, yeah, seat's broken. But,
yeah, seat's broken.
But I was like, it's true. You're down.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're driving around, you're behind somebody on PCH, you can't see around them, you know. And I do get that's people's argument. They go, I like sitting up high. I mm-hmm. like to be able to see stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like being slammed on the ground is kind of nice when you're just all alone and you're going down a mountain road kind of thing. But day-to-day shit, I get it. I get why people want to be up on their perch.
And when it comes to a road trip vehicle, when you're getting into something like the QX80, the big three-row SUV, the Lincoln Navigator, there's just, you know, they're quiet, they run great now, they're comfortable now, mm-hmm. and there's just all sorts of features from massaging seats and heated and cooled and plugs everywhere, plug in your phone, plug in your cooler, there's just all kinds of stuff you can do with it, not to mention, throwing down the third row seats, putting all your gear in there, unloading it at your hotel or Airbnb, and then using the seats as jump seats for, rest of your crew or other people, or hey, let's all take one car to the restaurant, and you know, it's nice to be able to do all that stuff. So we're falling in love more and more with the big SUVs, especially on the road trips. You know, like you're saying now, it's like even if you had an electric car that you were driving around town, you're gonna drive out to Vegas or do a road trip or something. Just go rent the big SUV, right?
Yeah, I think we're kind of at the spot, which is if you can afford it, you really just need that little electric Fiat to get around town, which I think Leno said was like one of his favorite cars. And
he didn't mean that.
I know. And you got to have the big Denali, like sitting in the garage for that for that road trip. You know what I mean? Because when you get a few guys and a little bit of luggage, and as we do it, sometimes some equipment, it just starts eating up the cubic feet inside that car like real fast.
Yeah,
like you'd be surprised. You can never have enough room in the back of that car for throwing the bags and the coolers and the whatever. Like it just, even with three or four guys, that stuff just goes fast.
It does. Plus room for beef jerky.
Gotta have beef jerky room.
Gotta have big front pockets and beef jerky in the pockets and a center console.
All right. Last but not least, Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico would already be saving you if you were with Geico. So what are you waiting for? I don't know. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico and save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Again, you go to geico.com and learn just how much you could be saving at geico.com. All right. Tempe Improv, Matt's hometown, or close enough.
Yeah.
September 18th and 19th, be doing live podcasts there and stand up there as well. Salt Lake City Wise Guys coming up October 2nd and 3rd, live podcast and stand up there. Check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Adam Carolla, and support the show. Check out the website, carcastshow.com. Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, just follow me on my social media, please, at Motorator, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all kinds of good stuff.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey guys, let me tell you about Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? You're waiting for your dog to make you breakfast in bed? Well, that's not going to happen. But saving money can. There's never been a better time now to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com for more information. That's geico.com.